John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his precious name. We have life today because of Jesus Christ and doing exactly what the Father asked him to do. And not only that, so many other things that he wants us to do, we do it not to please ourselves, but we do it to please the Lord. We do it to lift his name up. John chapter 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas, the man that missed the church. Thomas missed the most important message or services that he'd ever have had an opportunity to go to. That's just like us as individuals. If we don't show up in church, it could be the very message that we need to hear. It maybe need the message that maybe some other people that need to hear that's not here. But we need to do it because of Christ, because of what he's done for us. We could just think a minute or two, but if you know me, if I get to thinking about it and I start on it, it'll take me at least probably the rest of the day and tomorrow to get through with it. But let's just think for a moment. What Jesus Christ done. One of the most important things that he ever done was when he would said he would save our soul. And I'm sure I'm glad that he did. I sure am glad that when I called upon his name, that the voice that he heard from me wasn't a voice that he had never heard before. It was a voice that was crying out to Jesus to give me a better life. No. Give me more money. No. Give me more things of the world. No. The only thing that I look to is one word. Saved. Saved by grace. We have to have faith in something, and we put our faith in something that we do believe, whether it's the Lord or whether it's the devil or whatever. We have people out here that worship the devil. They go, hey, every time you turn around, they got the They're right there at the bar. They're right there at the stools. They're sitting right there drinking and all that and everything. They out here cursing, using God's name in vain. Hey, they have faith in Satan themselves. Because they're doing everything that Satan wants them to do. But see, he didn't save them. See, Satan didn't save them. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came to me as a dying, you're saved. That was the most important word that he could ever come up with. That I'm saved by his grace through faith. I'm going to ask y'all a question. If you can answer it, you can answer it. But an individual that says that they got saved, and maybe for the first month or two they come to church, they all up in it and everything, but where they're at today, or they're at home, or they're at Walmart, Target. See, them places are limited today. You just can't go into any place you want to anymore, like you used to. And what God is saying to the people, straighten up, hear something, open your ears. Your ear does not have that much wax in them that they completely stop up. But I don't know what else to do to. I don't know what else to do. I mean, the people that I know, the people I go around with, hey, I'm friendly to them, and I love them all. I mean, he can be cursed to me to death and everything, but I still love him. Why? That's what God instilled within me, was his precious love, that I could share his love with other people. And as I share it with other people, then they can sense that somebody cares. Sense that somebody cares. And yes, and I care for them. There's not a soul that I know of, not a soul that I've ever met in my lifetime that I want to see die and go to hell. Not a one. And that's what we need to be. That's what we need to be doing. But we are not doing that anymore. We are putting our agenda right there. I wonder if the people, if we get some people down. I wonder if they'd like it if we go this way, if we go that way, whatever. No. Give them the word. Give the gospel. And the gospel will stay with them. It will stay with them while they sleep at night. And the gospel will rewind in their mind. And what they've heard through that day about the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll rewind at night. And they'll remember it over and over know. Some things here that I want to bring to our attention this morning. You see here in John chapter 20, in verses 19 down through 31, which I didn't read them all for the sake of time, I didn't. But speaking of an individual man, and we're speaking about Thomas. How many Thomases do we have right here? How many do we have that we see each and every day? There is multitudes of Thomases out here. But what was one of the things that Thomas missed by not showing up there in the upper room with the others there? And then when the Lord Jesus Christ came in, what did Thomas miss? Thomas missed the sweetest fellowship to ever come about. Why? Because that was the other disciples they were there. But you know what the sweet fellowship was? Was not because of what was going to happen. Because of what is happening. And that's where the other disciples, they were like that. They was crying, they was mourning, they was doing this and that and everything. They said, well, I don't have any world to make it to tomorrow. I ain't got no safety. People, we complain. But do we complain about the sweet fellowship that we can have? No. You know where we have this? You know where the sweet fellowship comes in at? Here in the church. When we hear other people talking about what the Lord has done to them this past week. And what the Lord has showed them within their reading of the scripture. Thomas missed the sweetest fellowship of all. Well, see, Thomas was there with the rest of them there when Jesus came in. When Jesus came into the room, he was there. The disciples were assembled. Where were they assembled at? They were assembled in God's house. And there was offering fellowship one with another. God's house offers comfort and support. Who needs our support? Who do I need my support from? Yeah, I need it from the Lord. But I also need my support from you, the people. Same way with you. You need my support to help you to get along and to do better and to be a more of a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not a witness anymore. People don't witness anymore. And I don't understand that. I mean, I heard a preacher tell me one time, said, in the church that I'm pastoring, I had a lady. She's in her late 20s. She came to church, and we had revival that week. She came. She was on the altar every night. Friday night. One of the individuals in the church was praying right beside of her. And she said, you know, I've been every night. I've joined all the services. But it's all I can say is I enjoy them. I can't do anything about the services. And that individual said to me, so that we can leave right now in the next few moments and making sure that you can enjoy each and every service, and you'll be able to bring up everything that was said. And they asked her, said, would you like that? She said, yes, I would. And they started praying. Laid beside of her. I mean, she just all of a sudden started praying for her and praying that the Lord would save her soul. She said, Lord, I don't know what her soul like. But I feel like she's lost. And if she is, she will not understand none of it. Until after she gets this sinner's prayer out of her life. And then she can be able to take the other prayers that she can pray for. She can not worry about them. Allow the Lord to worry about them. You just do what God says. That lady stayed up there with her for over half hour, they said. And they said when she come down, the preacher was back at the back door and everything, and people was leaving, and he was shaking their hands and everything. And he was back at the door. And the lady that led this young girl to the Lord, she hollered for the preacher. He said, Pastor, come back here. We need to ask you something. I want to share something with you. He said, okay. I got a couple more and I'll be right there. Come back down now. And she didn't know that. Young lady. Didn't know her name or where she lived or nothing about her. But the other lady told him. A little story and said that she just got saved tonight. And he said, I said, you're dad to me. Don't ask me. You better start to say, ask her what happened. And she said, well, I found me a law, but I'm going back home safe. And she started out visiting individuals. And this pastor told us all that day when he was in the church preaching it. I mean, his own revival. And he was just telling us about that, where the church he was at, what happened. He said, this young lady, he said, she wasn't 30 years old. But now she is up in 80. She's almost 80 years old now. But from the time that she got saved, she went home and she wrote down five names. Five phone numbers and the address. And she said, he said that you said that she'd go to them places and visit the homes, visit the people. Today, the people don't want to be visited. Don't want this. Today, I'm reluctant to say this because it's a shame that a Christian that knows exactly what the Lord wants him to do, it's a shame that he feels so afraid of going out and visiting individuals, knocking on individuals' doors of what we know nothing about. You see, we don't know who's on the other side of that door. We just know the name is given to us. We don't know what kind of being they are, anything. And yes, I know the Lord's with me. I can get in my car, I can go to that individual's home. I can get out of my car, I can walk to the door, and I can knock on the door. Yes, and I still have the Lord with me. He's right there with me. But who's going to come to the door? I have no idea. An individual comes to the door that has a .357 Magnum or a shotgun or a rifle or something like that. And they say, yeah, I know who you are. You're a preacher, ain't you? And then the next thing you know, he shoots at me. He said, what happened? You still didn't. What happened? You didn't have trust in God? Oh, yeah, I still had trust in God. But that other individual didn't. That other individual didn't even know God. And it's a shame that we have to live in society that way today. It's a shame. We see where some other things that Thomas missed. seeing all the other individuals with them, with them about that, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He missed all that. Why did he miss all of that? It's like us today. We doubt. He was calling, he was called Doubting Thomas. He didn't believe. If he wasn't there when he got down, he didn't believe. He just did not want to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We should never doubt the Lord if the Lord's going to answer our prayer or not. A whole lot of times, the reason he don't answer our prayer is because we do have a little of that hesitation, a little of that doubt within us that he will answer the prayer for us. We have that little doubt. Is there anybody in this morning will say, yeah, I've something I've been praying for, and I've been praying for months, and I've been praying for one specific thing, and now I'm going almost to the end and everything? I said, sure. I'm going to ask you something. Do you doubt that the Lord can answer? Can I doubt the Lord? That the Lord can touch my body? Can he give me a liver transplant? A kidney transplant? A nerve transplant? I know he can do it. But it's going to be up to me whether he does it or not. Do I have that little doubt that comes my way? I'd be lying to you if I told you if I didn't. But yes, I do at times. I get to thinking about all the things that I used to do, and all the things that I had promised God that I would do when he opened the doors for me to come here. And I said, Lord, I said, now, it's not that I don't trust you. I do. But Father, it seems like that to me, you don't trust me to go out and do your work. But he can trust me. He can trust me. Because see, he's the only one that I can put my trust in. I can't put my trust in none of them. And no other. If you don't come to church, if people don't come to church, we need to share with them what goes on within the local church. We don't need to go and tell them, well, let's see, what do we have for lunch today? Oh, yeah, he was a pastor. We had him for lunch today. We had his wife for lunch today and all of that. I mean, I know y'all heard of that before, but hey, it's not about all of that. It's about the gospel. I should not even be down here talking about the eating and talk about all this other junk, racing and football and baseball. I don't need to come in here and do all that. I need to come in and give out the gospel. I need to come and preach God's word. And that's where spiritual encouragement will come at, come in on us. You will give me the courage to keep going on. And I can give you the courage, right courage, for you to keep going on. We must always remember we all have family. Do we know when the last time anybody in our family had told us or said anything else about to us about heaven, salvation? You know, we waddle. I hear one preacher said we need to ask people that every day. But I think as a family, we need to make sure that they are saved, that they're going to heaven. They go with me, and they go where my mother's at. They go where my stepfather's at. They go where we're going to be at and where we're going to have a good time. But no, people don't want to go. I don't think they want to go to the damn time. Really, I just don't think people. I think people got it in the back of their head. And they're thinking about what all they've done. And they're thinking about the time that they came to church. And they came to the altar weeping, crying. And they said they asked God to save their soul. Tell me one thing, how can you ask God to save you to where you can go to heaven? And he can turn around and save somebody else within the same services that's going on. And then they will come next Sunday. They'll come the Sunday after that. Maybe. But then you don't see them no more. They don't come to church. They don't come to God's house. Hey, how can you lose what you never had? You can't. You can't lose it. If you've never had it, you cannot lose it. But I tell you, it's a whole lot of my head today. It's playing around with our life. And they're playing around with their family. with the grandchildren. They're playing around with other people's lives. We need to do everything that we can to tell people. I got two brothers who won't even come see me because they know that I'm going to say something to them. Because I know that they're not living right. And you can't live right and know God. And they ain't living right. Because I see no chastisement upon them. I see no punishment from God on them. That's the reason I can say it. I just don't have no hope of them. Oh, yes, I love to see them. I've called. And I've called and I've called. But they won't pick up the phone. Thank you, Lord, today. Now, Father, we pray now. Lord Jesus, that you just help us to think about your word. And Father, that we can keep your word. And Lord, help us this week, Father, that if we happen to run across somebody that does not know you as our personal Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus, would you give them the word? Would you draw them? The words that you give them will be like a magnet that will draw them to you. And yes, and they want to get saved. Lord, I believe you've given us one more chance, one more opportunity to win more people to the Lord. But people won't even come out with what is all that's gone wrong. They won't even come out to this church no more. They don't want to trust you, Father. They don't want to trust you, Lord Jesus. They don't believe nothing that we say. They don't believe nothing that we can come to them with. But Father, I pray God this week for that individual that is nearest eternity. Is near the nearest place is hell for them. God, I pray that you help them. They may wake up. They may open their eyes, and they may see what's ahead. And Lord, that they can come and just ask you, say, Lord. You know me. You know what my life's been about. I want to come and ask you to save me. I don't know if you will or not. But if you will, I would sure love it for you to save my soul. And Father, help me that I can be a help to someone else. And Father, for Faith Baptist Church here, the whole God, you know each one of our hearts, Father, we want to see people. We want to see people come into the house of God. We want to see people come and come and bow on their knees and get saved and baptized and take communion and serve you, Lord. Father, we thank you. And we ask in all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.